is in the book. And the worship is in the book. And you don't mind it down at the ball field. But you think it's out of place in the house of God. But it all started in the house of God. Don't let theologians steal from you what God has gone to great lengths to make available to you. Because you got to be a theologian to mess this up. You really do. Your theology should be the oldest and the simplest and the plainest. You ought to be able to read it in the book. If they got the Holy Ghost, and they did, that's what you need to do. If they were baptized in Jesus' name, and they were, that's how you need to be baptized. If they walked out of Egypt, which is a type of a life of sin, that's what you need to do. The Word of God teaches against adultery, you need to quit. The Word of God says you need to stay married to your husband or your wife and not have 3 or 4 or 8 or 10. That's what you need to do. Praise God. Anyway, that should be your theology. Simple from the Word of God. In theology this morning, we were really, really stupefied trying to understand some of the ancients. You have to speak to me, brother. I don't understand hand signals or hand signs. You want to baptize them right now? They want to be baptized right now? Well, the Bible says now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. And I can work right through that, and we can stop when you guys are ready. How's that? While we're doing this, let me tell you that we've got a little blue Bible here with the name Ryland on it. And so we're going to be dedicating Brother Ryland. Is he in the house? You want to hold him up, wave him around or something? Or are y'all mosh pitting in there? We have half of Sulligent and part of Centerville here in the house today. And it's so good to see the Millers here. This is their grandbaby, the great-grandbaby. And Sister Haynes is, yeah, there she is. Okay. And it's her great-grandbaby, too. And so we have a lot of family here to celebrate this. And so we're going to preach to Ryland today, Brother Butch. You're not standing. You're hiding. You've been to a few of these, haven't you? This is the place where we rough up the parents. That's today. So we're going to do that. But really, I don't sense that kind of message in the works today. So you can just breathe easy and relax and let your guard down for me. So when I come in there, you won't be tense and expecting it. But we treasure these children. And what a wonderful blessing they are from the Lord. And the scripture doesn't talk about dedicating babies, but it does have a lot to say about moms and dads and homes and families being dedicated to the kingdom of God. So we're going to we'll conduct that at the end of this service today. Let's take a text from Zechariah 4, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. It's going to be a long text, so why don't you have a seat? And I appreciate you standing in respect to the Word of God. But you'd be standing for a little while. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. You want to remember the Capps family. There's a cousin of Sister Tasha. And I guess for you, Sister Rose, be a niece-in-law or niece. And she passed away, I think, yesterday. So funeral's today, about 2 o'clock. You want to remember that family and pray strength and blessing upon them. When I got that call last night, I was really, really sombered by the call, because I've sat in that home and opened up home Bible study. And I opened up a door to an ark of safety And I opened up an opportunity to a chance of a lifetime. And that door was closed. And I haven't spent quality time with them, so I can't tell you much about them at all. But I will tell you, it is a sad, sad day when people go to meet God and they're not ready. Now, this lady, like I tell you, hadn't been around her for a while, so I can't. After they leave this dimension, I don't spend much time thinking about them, because there's no profit in that, because nobody knows their heart but God. I might could give you odds, having seen a life and knowing what it takes to be right in God, but I guess I would just like to tell you, don't wait. Get this right. Get this right now. Start your ascent now. Open the book now. Begin to call on God now. This young man that's on life support at Children's is 17, and this lady's in her 40s. And it just doesn't matter who you are or what age you are. I ask not for whom the bell tolls, because it could toll for any one of us. Well, Zechariah chapter 4. Everyone say praise the Lord. Verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it. We should be in verse 2 by now. I'm going to read the whole chapter. There you go. Work with me. Work with me. And his seven pipes thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. This is the candlestick from the tabernacle. This is the candlestick that John saw in Revelation chapter 1. This is emblematic of revelatory knowledge and power in God. Verse 3, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And the angels are sometimes surprised that we don't know simple spiritual things. And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I would, everybody, let's say, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 7, who art thou? Now this is God speaking. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone, or the capstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it, which is an exclamation that is like, bless the Lord, or blessings upon it. Verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Even those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty themselves the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. If you're glad for the word of God and you love it richly today, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Mighty God, we praise you. We lift up our voice today to say thank you. God, we thank you for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you for the privilege to handle your word in this house today. Everybody said amen. All right, well, Zach, in case you didn't catch all of this. We're going to rehearse it for you. We've been through this to some degree, and one of our favorite passages here is, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." But the prophet here is Zechariah, and he's contemporary with the post-exilic prophets, or those who have come back to rebuild Jerusalem after 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And he is there with Zerubbabel, who is the temple builder. Nehemiah is associated with the rebuilding of the walls, and Ezra is the prophet there for the time of the laying of the foundation of the temple. And Zerubbabel, it is his temple. It is known historically as Zerubbabel's temple. And 500 years later, this temple will yet be standing when Jesus walks in Jerusalem to the temple. It is at that point called Herod's temple, but it was built in its core structure by Zerubbabel. And so Zechariah is the prophet, and Zerubbabel is the builder. And the project is the second temple, or the restoration of Judah. And the candlesticks that he's seen here, they are the revelatory knowledge of God. And everybody say, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." And in this passage, we read where God speaks to the mountain on behalf of Zerubbabel. And he said, "Who are you, O great mountain? For you shall become a plain." And what he's saying is that nothing is going to stand in the way of the plan of God in this man, Zerubbabel, and by the word of this man, Zechariah. He's saying the plan of God is inexorable, and you can get in the way, but you'll get run over. The plan of God is going to happen. And even if it's a mountain, it's coming down. Now, I'm preaching to little Ryland today, and I want him to know that the things that we define in this chapter are going to be things that are part of the promise of God and the contractual responsibility of God regarding him. If God should tarry and he grow to be a grown man, these principles and these concepts and these promises are going to be his for the taking, his for the living. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." All right, we're going to have a baptism. Praise God. Clap your hands, lift your voice. We don't have a musician, so we'll just have to do it a cappella. Take me to the water. Come on, Brother Warren. Come on. Take me to the water to be baptized. Take me to the water. Oh, yeah. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized. How we do it? In the name of Jesus. Yes, it is. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. To be baptized, take me to the water. Oh, yeah, take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
How are you
going to
do that?
It's in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. To be baptized. Take me to the water. Oh, yes. Take me to the water. Take me to the water.
Hallelujah.
to be baptized in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. To be baptized. I love Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? Nothing. I'm singing, oh, precious is the flow that made me white as snow. No other bounds I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, let's give God a shout for two. Down in the water in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the story of three lost things. The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, the prodigal son. And he's trying to emphasize to the Pharisees why he's always spending time with sinners and with Republicans and with people that the Pharisees won't have anything to do with. And in the story of the prodigal son, when the son repents and comes home from the pig pen and comes back to the house, the father throws a party. And at the end of each of these portions of the parables of the lost things, there is shouting in the presence of the angels of God. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. And there's music and dancing at the father's house when the prodigals return. But the older son doesn't understand the music and the shouting. He doesn't understand the party. What you're a part of this morning, we're having a party because people are coming to live for God. People are coming to know God. And it's something worth being excited about. Now, the world is excited about a lot of things, but they don't know the value of a soul. If you read the latter portion of the book of Revelation, there's a long list of what the world puts value on. And it starts with gold and silver and spices and precious stones. And it's a mammoth list. But at the bottom of the list, it says, and the souls of men. Because the world doesn't realize the value of a soul. Nothing in your week short of seeing it happen again is going to be on a level with what just happened in this baptistry. Somebody's sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing you can make, nothing you can build, nothing you can earn, nowhere you can visit is going to be comparable to what just happened. But that's the problem with the flesh, and that's the problem with the world. They don't know that the value is in the soul. So God speaks to the mountain on Zerubbabel's behalf and says, mountain, you're going to become a plain. You will become a plain. This is like Jesus talking to you about speak to the mountain. On down in this chapter, the word is clear that Zerubbabel is going to not only build the work, start the work, but he's going to finish the work. Everybody say he'll start it and he will finish it. And the language here is that he will come forth with the capstone, which is the last stone that is laid on the top of the temple. And he's singing blessings unto God, or grace be unto it. But God's going to see that not only will he start it, but God's going to see that he finishes it. And then in verse 3, for all that may be looking from the edges or the periphera, and they may be saying something like, what are these people? Who are these people? They look so raggedy. They look like they've been in bondage for 70 years. They look like they don't have much strength. He said, who has despised the day of small things? He said, you're going to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, which is a picture for your mind's eye of Zerubbabel in the process of building the temple. And he says, you're going to see him with the seven eyes of God. It just simply means God has a powerful multilateral attribute of vision and power. power, and all of that is going to be available to the man Zerubbabel. And down at the end, there are two olive trees, but unlike anything you've ever seen, they've got pipes that are coming out of them, and there's this continual flow of the golden oil out of those. Now, the one in the tabernacle, they had to fill it up with oil every day, but not the one in the heavenlies, and not the one that God wants to hook you up to. God wants to hook you up to a flow that never stops. It just keeps on flowing. The anointing of God just keeps coming. The Spirit of God just keeps on coming. I'm preaching to a little baby boy today, and I want him to know on the day that he was dedicated to God that people were shouting in the house of God. I want him to know there was a song in the heart of the church. I want him to know there was trouble all around in the world, but we still had our shout, and we still had our joy, and the church was still alive, and the church was still birthing babies into the kingdom. In the middle of the trouble, babies are being born, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. And I want him to know that every word that we preach here today is God's truth, and that it's applicable to him. That it's not a story from long ago put on a shelf somewhere. It makes me crazy when you talk to people about the Word of God and how the Holy Ghost is for them today. And they tell you, no, that was only for back then. And what they really mean to say is, I don't have it and I don't believe I can get it. But honey, he's been pouring it out for 2,000 years, and it's just is real today. The promise is unto you and your children and those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, clap your hands. Well, praise God. And in verse 9, he said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, his hands shall finish it, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Everyone say the Lord of hosts. And the hosts here, these are angels. And these are promises. And these are principles. It's just everything that comes in the draft of God as he begins to walk into your life. It's the entourage that moves with God. Wherever God shows up, the power is there. Wherever God shows up, the ministering spirits are there. Wherever God shows up, the blessing is there. The healing is there. The providence is there. When God is there, he said, I want you to know, you'll know when you see what I'm doing in this man's life that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Praise God. A host indicates a great number, a multitude. When you're standing with God, you're never standing alone. But there's always a host involved. Everybody say a host. Now this is, if you would, this is Zerubbabel's host. Zechariah is the prophet, but Zerubbabel is the main character of this little story and the building of the temple. And all of these powerful qualities are there for Zerubbabel. So it's Zerubbabel's host. When Jacob left his daddy's house because Esau was going to kill him, he stops at a place called Luz, and we have there the story of Jacob going to sleep with his head on a rock, and he sees a vision of a ladder, and on the ladder, angels are ascending and descending. The angels are there because Jacob is there. He is now the covenant bearer. The old man has laid his hands upon Jacob's head, and now Jacob, who will soon be Israel, Jacob has a host of heaven and the ladder of God that is moving in his life. When he, after 20 years in Haran, where he picks up some wives and some children and some possessions, and he's making his way out, God said it's time to go back to the land of Abraham. Chapter 32 in Genesis begins, and as Jacob comes out of Haran, he sees the host of heaven. He sees the angels again. They've been with him in Haran for 20 years, and now he's moving, and now they're moving. And he named the place Menahayim, or the double host of God. the second host of God. What he means is, I saw that host when I was coming into Haran 20 years ago, and now I see that host again now when I'm leaving out of Haran. They were with him all the time, and every step he takes, every place he sets up his tent, every place he stakes out his farmland or pasture land, they are there with him. Somebody say the host of God. When David is anointed with oil by the hand of the old prophet Samuel, something happens to his life. He's not the same anymore. He becomes a lion killer and a bear killer and a giant killer. He becomes the king over Judah and Israel. But there comes a day when David is about to go into battle. But the Lord says, hold. Stop right here. I don't want you to go yet. I want you to wait. He said, until you hear the sounds of a going for in the top of these mulberry trees over here. He said, it's going to be a sound like marching. There's going to be a footfall, but it's not on the ground. It's somewhere suspended between. It'll sound like it's in the top of these mulberry trees over here. And when you hear that, then you go in to battle. It is the host of God that he was hearing there marching that day. There were three lepers outside the gate of the city, and they were starving to death. They decided they would walk into the encampment of the enemy. And the Bible said, as they begin to walk, that it sounded like a great army was walking with them. And there was. It was the host of heaven walking with them. You're not alone when you're living for God. You're not alone when you're in covenant with God. Jehoshaphat can tell you about it. He sent the choir into battle, and by the time the army got there, the Bible said that God set ambushments. Or he laid an ambush, an angelic ambush against the enemies. And by the time the army got there, all of the enemy were dead. Praise God. The psalmist puts it like this. Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. Praise God. Did you see him camped outside your house, Twan, this morning? Did you watch carefully when you backed out the drive? You didn't run over them, did you? You didn't give them a whole lot of thought. But the Bible said they're there. They're camped. They probably, if they got good sense and they know how we drive, they probably do camp out about as high as a mulberry tree. Say, don't get on the ground with these guys. But they're there. The Bible says they're there. They're not just there for David. They're there for you. They're not just there for Jacob. They're there for you. They're not just there for Zerubbabel. But they're there for you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, the angel of the Lord encamps round about you, and he will deliver you. My God, there's a promise in the house today. I want Ryland Tucker to know and to understand that when he steps up in this house as a little boy, that the angels of God don't discriminate between him and anybody else. He's got an angelic covering with him. He's got the promise of God. And when he turns 13, it'll be there. And when he's 15, it'll be there. And when he takes a young lady on his arm, if the Lord tarries, God's going to be there. God's going to be there. And it'll be a host. It won't just be one little single feature. One thinned down, watered down product of a theologian's mind. It won't just be the cerebral working, the cognitive processes, the intellectual rantings of a theologian. But it will be, Brother Reggie, it will be fire. It will be power. He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I'm telling you this today. This is not a denomination. This is not a religion. This is a biblical experience. And the host of heaven is standing around the perimeter to see who's going to be a part of this. Well, praise God. I'm condensing here. I'm running as fast as my little feet will carry me. Hebrews 12 and verse 8. And we are no longer in the Old Testament, but we are in the New. And we begin with a discussion of something that's going to happen not only in the old, but now it's going to happen in the new. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse 18 say, "You are not come unto the mountain that might be touched." It's talking about Mount Sinai, where they received the law and the covenant and the tabernacle and the law of Moses. But down around verse 22, but say, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." Now listen, I wanted to go that far to tell you we are talking about the church here. This is not a retread of something from the old, but this is something dynamic and new. Zion was a hill in Jerusalem, but now Zion is the kingdom of God in you by the Holy Ghost and by the name of the Savior. Unto the city of the living God. It's no longer in Jerusalem. Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, "The time's coming, it's already started, that you're not going to worship God in the mountain of Jerusalem, nor in the mountain of Samaria, nor in Jerusalem. But he that worships God is going to have to worship him in spirit and in truth." So we've come to Zion. Everybody say, "We're in Zion." Say, "We're in the city of the living God." Shake your neighbor and say, "It's no longer Jerusalem." Don't be hung up on Jerusalem. Go there on a trip if you want to, but there's as much God in Alabama as there is in Jerusalem. Buy a ticket if you want to for the place where Jesus was buried, or a hill that they tell you is Golgotha, but there's no power there greater than the power there is in South Mississippi. I don't want to ruin your trip now. I'm not interested in walking where Jesus walked. I want to know where he's walking right now. Praise God. An innumerable company of angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation?" I want everybody that's an heir of salvation to lift up your hand today. Praise God. Elbow your neighbor and say, "I got ministering spirits. My God, they're encamped around about me. They're encamped around about my church. They're encamped around about my job. They're encamped around about my school. They're all over my house. My God, there's angels everywhere. I can't open the cupboard without bumping one in the head. Angels all over the place. What is that? That's the host of God. What are they bringing? They're bringing the promise of God. What are they saying? They're saying, "Mountain, you're going to become a flat spot in the road for my servant." And it's not just Zerubbabel. It's Ryland Tucker. It's Ryland, right? Ryland Tucker. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And so the theology of angels continues, but it's not just Zechariah's host nor Zerubbabel's host, but 2,500 years later, it's a host of heaven for this little baby right here. You brought him into the house of God. With the day you came in and got buried in Jesus' name and you received the Holy Ghost, you became the recipient of all the power and the glory and the goodness of the kingdom of God. And the host of heaven came down and marked the spot where you live, and they marked the spot where you work, and they marked the tracks where you walk, and they're with you every day of your life. Somebody say amen. My God, if you're excited about the provision of God, I want you to just shout a little bit right now. Just shout a little bit right now. Can I tell you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Can I tell you that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think? Can I tell you that nothing is impossible for God? My God, if somebody believes that, why don't you shout amen? Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. I don't want him to know anything else, Brother Butch. I don't want him to think the church is just holding on by the fingernails. Oh my God, we're a holy people, but we're so miserable about it. But we're holding on. We're hanging on. I'm just making it from service to service. Oh, preacher, please preach something to me tonight to get me over the bump, because I got to go back out into the world and I'm just all beaten and stumbling and so defeated. And that's horse manure. That's what that is. That's manure. That's what that is. Kingdom of God is victory. Kingdom of God is joy. Kingdom of God is strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You don't tell him anything else. You teach him how to shout from an early age. You tell him going to the house of God is the very best place we can go all week long. Somebody say praise God. My God, I'm not just hanging on. I'm standing in the middle of the promise of, is there anybody in this house? Is there anybody in this house that believes God? Is there anybody standing in the promise of God? Is there anybody that believes the word of God is true? And that the Holy Ghost makes you an overcomer? God, if he steals your shout, he's stolen your soul. If he steals your joy, he'll kill your victory. He'll steal your strength and you're done for. My God, you need to stay. You got to stay on the winning side of this thing. You got to stay alive in this thing. They come back from Babylon. They're a ragtag, beaten little band of refugees. Everybody in the land hates them. They're getting bankrolled by a pagan king. The walls are burned. The city is in rumble, in ruin, in rubble. And they've got to pick up the rubble and build a temple out of it. What a staggering job God has given them. But God brings them a word. And he says, it's not by your might, nor by your power, but it's by my spirit. He said, if any mountains rise up in front of you, you listen to me, Ryland. If any mountains rise up before you, God's going to make them a flat spot in the road. And I want you to know the host of heaven is going to be standing with you. And you need to hear this morning. Not only is God the author of your faith, but God is the finisher of your faith. Not only can you start this life, but you can finish it. My God, started living for God. We're going to keep on living for God. Come on, give somebody a high five and say, no way I'm turning back. How many of you feel like the devil's already given you his best shot? Some of you are afraid to say that, because you feel like you're throwing down a gauntlet and that he's going to take it like a challenge. But greater is he who is in you and he that is in the world. Somebody say praise the Lord. Kadarius, could you give me Matthew 18 and 10? He's already got a staff working for him. Brother Butch. He's already got staff working for him. His representatives are in the presence of God right now. You think about that when you raise that hand. Grandma's not going to be the only one to get you. You be careful that you despise not one of these little ones. Jesus just loved it. He'd sit down in the midst of them and he'd have little kids come get on his lap. And then he'd look at those Pharisees who felt all superior in their robes and in their vestures and all that. And he would say, unless you become like this little slobbering kid with snot running down his nose and peanut butter on his chin, unless you become like one of these, you're not going to get in the kingdom. He says, don't despise these babies. For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels, everybody say their angels. This kid's already got staff. He's already got angels. There's a bunch of angels. Don't worry about it. You're not losing any. The devil took a third. There were two-thirds of them left in the heavenlies. This kid's already got angels. In heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father. The angels are standing there. What are you doing? Well, I'm fighting the prince of Babylon. What are you doing? Well, I'm just kind of standing over the fat kid here on the third row here. It's my responsibility. He's not doing much, but he's really important to God. and I've got my hand on the hilt of my sword, and you let some demonic presence come. I'm going to spank him from here to Detroit. Praise. You don't think that's true? I'm telling you that's true. Now listen to me. You don't have to sit up at night. You don't have to do you ever do that? You probably don't do that. Paranoid and walking the floor and upset and fearful and troubled. It's not by might, nor is it by power. It's by my spirit. Who's he belong to? He belongs to God. What's he got working for him? Big staff of angels with swords and bad attitudes. One of them killed 180,000 Syrians. Just one of them. He's got staff. Everybody say he's got angels. It's Zerubbabel's host. It was Jacob's host. It was David's host. But it's Ryland's host. Ryland's got his own host. And it's not just the angels. It's the promise of the word of God. It's mountains that have to come down before him. Before he's ever big enough to really lay hold to it himself, already there's a way prepared before him. And all he's got to do is with a bullheaded, bulldogged attitude, walk toward the things of God, and God's going to make it all right. Somebody say amen. God's going to make it. Touch your neighbor a little bit and say, God's going to take care of it. It's going to be all right. God knows what he's doing. Come on, church. Come on. You really do have to live on this side of this thing for it to make any sense to you and for you to have the joy of God in your life. And he said, what he starts, he's going to finish. Now, the asterisk here is, you've got free moral agency. Zerubbabel could have walked away, spit in Zechariah's eye, and said, I ain't working on this job anymore. Get my money. He could have said that. But this is with the understanding that you're going to continue in the things of God. If you do, then he says all of these promises are going to be at your disposal. And you're going to start it, and you're going to finish it. You know what? You started building a house, and you said with Joshua, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Well, finish it. Don't let anything get in the way of that. You started building a church. You started working a ministry. You started laying your hands on the work of God. Well, finish it. Don't let anything turn you aside. The devil wants to turn aside everybody with a mindset to serve God, but don't you let him do it. The promise of the word of God is today. You start it, God will see that you finish it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. And lastly, let's stand together. There's a continual flow of oil. Praise God. Don't you ever let him think anything otherwise. Don't ever let him find you at the table with your head on the coffee table or whatever, and you're saying, well, I guess it's over. I guess God's out of oil. I guess I've come to the end of the road. I don't know what we're going to do. I guess we'll just lay here in the linoleum and die. The sad thing is, as funny as that is, that sounds a whole lot like some stuff I've heard. If I was an old black hound dog, I would just throw back my head and howl hearing some of your stories. Oh! But you wouldn't understand. And you would probably say, that preacher is insensitive. That preacher is making fun of me. Well, here's the truth, Brother Butch. I am. And you need, if you ever give this child the impression that God is not enough. Somebody needs to backslap you from Centerville all the way to Brent and back. That's not very far. If you ever give this child anything other than the distinct impression that anything he starts in the kingdom of God, he can finish. Because before he understands the language, he's going to be watching you. And the concept is going to frame itself in his mind. And by the time he's able to get up and go to school, he's going to know, my dad believes God can do anything. My dad trusts in God for everything. My dad believes God's got big old bulging angels all around this house, and I ain't scared of nothing. Not alligators under the bed. Nothing. Praise God. Because where will his fears come from? Well, sometimes fears come by osmosis. Well, he's sleeping peacefully. Let's interrupt his sleep. Why don't you guys gather all your family and support group, come down to the front. Sullivanites, Centervilleites. I would have an altar call, but we've already prayed through everything they wanted, the Holy Ghost. If you want it, you just got to come on and get it on your own over here. If you want to get baptized, go stand by the door. We'll take care of you. I'm serious. If you want it, it's here for you. But I believe we've worked through just about everything that was hungry in the house. Praise God. Gentlemen, could you bring me a couple of chairs? Right here, please. I don't know who all needs one. No, Brother Ben might would like one. Just put them right over here. Oh, just bring three. We'll let all of the great grandparents sit. There we go. Apostolics on the other side of you guys? Are you first generation? So his mother was. Then on this side, Ryland's fifth generation. Apostolic. How about on the other side? Sister Haynes, how far do we go back? All right. Well, this is five generations from both sides. There's some sort of a pedigree working here. We've got seats for you here if you want. Sister Miller, aren't you? You good? You don't want to sit? Praise God. Got a little Bible here with his name on it, Brother Butch. And you know the drill. You're going to hold this for him. And you're going to teach and exemplify this and model this for him. You are. That's right. And you're not ever going to give him cause to doubt one line in it. You're going to tell him everything's going to come to pass just like God said. And he's never going to ask the question, are we going to go to church tonight? Because he knows the door's open. We're in the house of God. He's never going to question how solid we are in this apostolic faith. He's never going to think that we might be laying this down or laying that down or compromising this or changing that. We're just going to be like those old timers were that had all that fire and fury and Holy Ghost. Is that the way you believe this? All right. Well, I'm going to give you that Bible. Sister Ashley, you're going to be a godly and an apostolic mom to him. You know, it's amazing how much guys are shaped by their moms, and young ladies are shaped by their dads quite often. I understand the modeling and all that, but It's incredible how much mama gets in a boy. You're going to give him an apostolic example. You're going to live for God with all your heart. You're going to be a praying mom. Your household's not going to be full of foolishness and bickering and fussing and cussing and fighting. Well, I just figured as long as God and the host of angels and all these witnesses are here, we'd get it on record. Praise God. Well, church, why don't you stretch forth your hands? Brother Ben, would you stretch your hand over here and lay it on this grandson-in-law? Praise God. All you elders, all you family members, lay your hands on them. Mighty God, we pray your hand of blessing on Brother Butch and Sister Ashley and Ryland. Bless this home. Bless this family. Strengthen them, O God, in body and in spirit. And in all that they do, O God, bring forth the kingdom in their lives. I pray that you'd keep them in the palm of your hand. Cause them, O God, to prosper in all that they do. Let this baby be blessed of God, the hand of God upon him right now, for good and for strength in his little body. And Lord, make a way before him right now. Cause these parents to be godly and righteous in all that they do. And Lord, bring forth your glory here. And we ask that you do it in the name above every name. And everyone said in Jesus' name. Could we give God praise and thanks for what he's doing in our lives? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We magnify you. Well, God bless you. So good to see you. We're going to have choir practice tonight. We'll have prayer at 6 o'clock. We'll have an apostolic service at 6:30. You come expecting God. And let's fill the house with prayer before the service tonight. Come by and give Brother Ryland the right hand of Christian fellowship. God bless you. All right, Grandfather.
Ladies and gentlemen, tell him it's
our sovereign God and King.
Come on, we're before your throne.
We're before your throne.
Bow at your
feet.
Oh, my.
We worship him, holy King.
Tell him it's in your presence that I find.
It's in your presence that I find joy.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
It's in your presence that I find peace.
Find rest for my
soul. I find rest for my soul.
Oh, my God.